This weekend's message is just one component of our Consume Journey, which is a little different from a regular Crossroads weekend series. During a journey, people in our community do some individual reflection through the week and meet with a small group to extend that learning. We dive a little deeper into the topic, meet new people, and have a lot of fun along the way. So if you're listening at home or in a car, consider downloading the Consume Journey Guide to work along with us during the week. It's available as a free PDF download at crossroads.net/consumed. And we challenge you to get into a small group for at least the duration of the Consume Journey to share your experiences and discuss the things you're learning. You can find a group and access other small group resources at crossroads.net.
Oh, man. Some definite laughs in there, right? But if you knew me 10 years ago, you would think that guy was my financial consultant. I mean, I got to tell you, I went to college and majored in finance and investment management. My plan was after school to start doing personal financial consulting for other people. And yet, even with all of the knowledge that I had, within 4 years of being out of school, I had thousands of dollars in credit card debt and had actually experienced a foreclosure on the first home that I ever bought. So I came to a place very quickly with this whole finance and debt thing where I realized it wasn't about what I knew. It wasn't about what I knew. And maybe you can relate to that. You know, this is one of those topics where the math, this isn't a math issue. We know what the right thing is to do, but maybe like me, you've just made a series of tough choices or wrong choices and you find yourself under the bondage of debt. You know what that feels like. And you may also be asking, well, what does God have to do with that? So at the risk of giving away the punchline up front, let me say, God has everything to do with your debt situation. Everything. Because this isn't an intellectual issue. It's not about what I knew. I didn't get into debt because of what I knew. I'd also argue it's not a behavioral issue. That's a part of it. There's some habits that need to change. But ultimately, this thing is more than that. And it's really the underlying issues around why I was willing to make those purchases that for me started me on the path. Only after I began to talk to God about my debt, it was only after I started to look at the wisdom of the Bible and when I started to connect with trusted friends that I made a discovery that changed everything for me. Changed absolutely everything. And it started me on a path to freedom. And we find these words many places in the Bible, but one of the places that we see it is in an obscure book in the Old Testament. It's the book of Haggai. And Haggai was a prophet who was writing to the nation of Israel thousands of years ago about their relationship to money and things. And so as we listen to these words, I want you to imagine that he was writing them to us right here today in 2008. This is what it says. Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but have harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Man, when I was in debt, that was a great description of how I felt. I mean, I made good money, but I felt like the money had a name on it before I even got a chance to cash the check. And it wasn't the name that I wanted. It was names like Visa, names like MasterCard, names like Volkswagen for the Jetta that I leased that was beyond my means at the time. I just realized that every time I brought home money, I felt like I was putting it in a purse with holes in it. Maybe you can relate to that. Maybe you felt that way. But the thing that changed everything for me is what Haggai says at the beginning and the end. Give careful thought to your ways. Because what he's saying there is, this is about examining your heart. This isn't just about what you're doing. It isn't about just what you know, but it's about examining your heart. And so main thing today, where we're going is this. Debt is restrictive. We get that. But you can be free. You can be free. And let me say that for some of you, you hear that and you say, okay, if the main thing is about the restriction of debt, then I can check out on this one. Because you know what, Chuck? I don't have any credit card debt. Well, if that's you, let me say that the same bondage that people can be under every time they're looking at the numbers behind what they owe, you can be in that same bondage if you get too caught up in your savings account and where those numbers are going. You can be consumed by how much you have in the bank, and that can become your security. Because what I had to realize is God is concerned about me paying down my credit card to zero. Yeah, he's concerned about that, but that's not his ultimate goal. God's ultimate goal for all of us is freedom. And freedom from the bondage of debt is found through a change of habits and a change of heart. And that's where we're going today, and that's what we're going to explore. And how we're going to do that is by taking a look at three stories of people in our community who've experienced freedom. And we're going to look at their stories to find progressive steps that we can take to break out of the bondage of debt. And before we go any further, I'd just like to pray that God would join us on this journey today. God, I do. I ask that in these next minutes that we spend together, you would give us a picture of the freedom that you want for all of us. And God, for people in here who are stuck in their situation of debt, I pray that they would see a way out today through your wisdom, through your word, and through the experiences of other people. In Jesus' name, amen.
I was 18. I was a senior in high school, and a bank gave me a credit card for $500. It was like I was an adult, you know? It was great. I had the freedom to buy whatever I want. It didn't matter if it was in my bank account or not. I had the ability to just charge it, and, you know, I'd pay it off later, which I didn't really do so well on that part. It led me to another credit card. So I got another offer for another credit card, and it was 0% for some period of time. So I transferred the balance over and, of course, never really paid it off. I just kept spending on it and maintained a heavy balance and transferred it again. And I have lost count how many times I've transferred it at this point. Shortly after high school, I decided to buy a brand new car. So I bought I forget the exact car, but it was a brand new Toyota. I started to realize that, okay, I wanted to move. So I moved out of my parents' house. So I had my new apartment along with my new car, and it was just more than I could handle. And I had started coming here and I really was getting involved, and I wanted to start being able to contribute. I mean, I was just drinking the coffee on the weekends and I started to serve, and I wanted to be able to give back as well. And so I realized that my finances really at the time wouldn't allow for that. So that's when I actually got involved with the Dollars and Cents Ministry. I expected this huge group format. So I'm like, you know, it's not like you have to really, maybe you'll just go learn some things, but you're not going to like really, you know, get vulnerable with it. And when I talked to Brian, he said, oh, well, there's no Dollars and Cents right now. It's kind of on hiatus. It'll start back a couple weeks. He goes, but how about we just work together? He's, you know, you can come by my house this night and drop by and we'll just go over things. I'm like, really? We're just going to sit at your dining room table and go through all of my stuff. Yep. And we did. It was the first time I've ever sat down and really looked at what I spend my money on. For a few weeks, I just kept track of every time I spent any cash or credit or anything. And just to add it up, how much I was spending eating out, I was spending between like gas and insurance and my car payment, I was spending like $750 a month just for my transportation. It was nuts. It was part of who I was this nice, you know, brand new Toyota that I had that was great. And just the realization that I really had to do something about that. I couldn't continue to have that and put money on credit cards. So went to the Toyota dealership and traded in my brand new, at this point it was a year and a half old car, for a 1988 Toyota Corolla. And, you know, everybody at work drives nicer cars than I did. And so I've got this old, like, beater of a Corolla. But it worked for me. It did what I needed it to. It got me to work, and it didn't cost me an arm and a leg. So at that moment in that week, it felt good. And then I was like, wow, it's not as cool to be driving this 88 Corolla. You know, I was driving around and, you know, it made all sorts of noises and smelled like gas. And what I got in return was the ability to not have to worry about making my bills every month. I could actually go out to dinner without charging it. And I was able to start tithing here, and I was able to start to actually make progress on paying off debt. And that was, I mean, in hindsight, that's what made it worth it.
Good story. Good story. Mm-hmm. You know, Patrick talked about just his transportation expenses being $750 a month. And that number just struck me because I paid $600 for my first car. How many people remember their first car? Yeah, I bought my first car in 1992. It was a 1984 red Ford Escort. Man, I used to call it my struggle buggy because it seemed like there was always something I was struggling to get fixed on that thing, you know, fuel pump, all kinds of stuff. But I remember all the details about that first car. See if you can go here with me. The first thing I did when I got my car is I took it to the sound system people. Yes, yes. And I bought a Blaupunkt pullout radio. Remember the pullout radios? So you could show up at the, you know, you show up at the party and kind of drop your radio on the table so everybody knew you had a pullout. Put 2 6x9s in the back, right? Some door speakers on the sides, little amp in the back. 1992. Let's see, the album of choice, Tribe Called Quest, Midnight Marauders. Anybody down with that? Electric Relaxation. Relax yourself, girl. Don't be so. Yeah, that was me. That was me. And when I would drive down the street, I turned my music up and I was quite sure that my car was about to fall apart as it was shaking from the system. So, but I remember all the details of that because I remember paying for that myself. And the amazing thing is when I look at Patrick's story, and I know Patrick and I can have some fun with this, is that he didn't remember what type of car it was. But how many of us can say, honestly, I've been there, that I've spent, and because it was so easy to just swipe a credit card, I don't even necessarily value all those things to the point where I don't even remember a lot of what I spent that money on. We're all in that place. And you know, when you start to live in that place, it can make you feel ashamed, and it can make you feel like you want to keep that to yourself. But one of the things that Patrick models really well is the fact that he was willing to open up to community. And if we're going to come to a place of freedom, out of the bondage of debt, this is a powerful first step, to just open up to community. There's a saying in Alcoholics Anonymous that you're only as sick as your secrets. You're only as sick as your secrets. And I can identify with that because whether it's debt or whatever it's been in my life, there is something that happens when I bring that dark secret stuff out into the light. You ever notice that when you bring something out into the light, all of a sudden those voices of shame get a little bit quieter? Because you're only as sick as your secrets. And when we open up, particularly in the area of debt, we begin to bring light to the situation, and the power to keep us ashamed and the power to keep us secret goes away. And let me say that if you're here today, and that's how you feel when you hear that word debt, if you feel shame, if you feel guilt around that, I just want to tell you that is not of God. God is not about making you feel guilty about the choices you've made. God is about bringing you freedom. And I just want to say that that's what God's desire is for you. And when you open up to community, you take a step toward that freedom. But there's something else that happens when you open up to community, and it's referenced in Proverbs 15:22, where it says, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. You see, the other benefit of opening up to community is we get the benefit of wise counsel. You're not alone when it comes to this debt thing. There are other people who've experienced it. And when you open up in community, people get a chance to breathe life into you with experiences that they've had. You get a chance to benefit from the counsel of other people. So a significant step toward freedom happens when we open up to community. And in a moment, we're going to take a look at another story, another couple in this case, and their experience in finding freedom with debt. And as we do that, I'm going to ask that the first impressions folks would start coming down. And we're going to have a time to be generous. And I want to say, if this is your first time here at Crossroads, just sit back and relax. When this bag is passed, just let it pass you right on by. But we have been featuring every week in the program something we feel called to be generous about as a community at Crossroads. And this week, we're talking about our partnership with Mamelodi South Africa and Charity and Faith Church. And Mamelodi is a township in South Africa. If you've been here probably more than a week, you've heard us talk about this. But if not, Mamelodi is a township in South Africa that is ravaged with HIV and AIDS. But there's a team of people called Charity and Faith Church that are committed to making a difference in their community. And we're committed to partnership with them. And one of the ways that we build into that partnership is we funded with infrastructure. We've been able to build an AIDS hospice that's providing service to many people in that community. We've also been able to help build homes over there and plant gardens. We're working with people on the ground to create businesses to help them be more self-sustaining. We are committed to this partnership. And the way that partnership gets funded is by the generous hearts of people right here at 3500 Madison. So as those plates go around right now, you're going to have a time to be generous to that and the other things that God has called us to as a community. And we're going to take a look at this story.
Well, about 4 or 5 years ago, we were in a pretty bad financial shape as far as our debt was concerned. We had about $75,000 in credit card debt. We had 2 car loans and a mortgage. And we decided that we needed to try to do something to get rid of that.
We loved to travel. We enjoyed eating out, and it was so easy for us just to swipe a credit card. And before we knew, we were in this huge financial debt. The first time McDonald's started taking credit cards, I thought, who's going to charge McDonald's? You know, who's going to put $1.35 or $4 or whatever it is on their credit card? I became one of those people to where I would swipe my card because it was so easy to do that for a Big Mac or a cup of coffee. And I think at that point, it kind of hit home for me that, you know, I don't even have the extra cash to buy a cup of coffee. I have to put on my credit card. And it just kept mounting up and mounting up. And then somebody said to me, do you realize that that cup of coffee that you're putting on your credit card now, it may take you 3 years to pay it off, or that lunch or whatever it is. And I think that's when we got to that point. And we were both making great money, but we were spending more than we were making. And it was just so easy to do. We didn't realize it when we were in the middle of it until we got on the other side of it, the effect that it had on our marriage. I think that we were both kind of blaming each other how we got there. We got to a point because it was so overwhelming that we really didn't talk about it because neither one of us wanted to admit that it was the problem that it was. And so we just ignored it. And we were basically just, you know, kind of eking along and not communicating with each other and just really struggling. And I think that that's why when we came to the point of coming to Crossroads and also getting out of financial debt, it worked so well together. Because I don't think either one of us realized what a toll it had taken on our marriage. Because we weren't communicating, we weren't working as a team, and it just really started to, I think in hindsight, really started to affect our relationship. We got to class the first night, and there was probably maybe like 20 people in the class. It was made up of, you know, single moms, couples, whatever. And the minister who happened to be running the class, he wanted everybody just to shout out a number. He was going to write it on a whiteboard of how much debt everybody had. And Jeff and I looked at each other, and we thought, okay, one of the things that we committed to do, we were going to be honest about it. And he was facing the board, and we said 75. And everybody just held their breath, and he wrote it up there, and everybody turned around and looked at us, and it was like this really sobering moment for us. And at that point, we made the decision that if we were able to get out of debt, one of the things we were going to do was share our story with people, because we felt like it really kind of gave us kind of a jumping off point to help ourselves, but also to help somebody else.
We decided to tithe in the midst of us not having any, extra money, but we did a lot of praying, and we decided this is something we're going to do. And I think in some ways, or a lot of ways, that helped us get to where we are today.
I remember that first time we wrote the check out, and we were driving to church on a Sunday morning, and we were right in the middle of the course and just all this struggle and us saying, okay, this is what our tithe would be, and writing that out and looking at that number thinking, gosh, there's so much that I could do with that and pay towards our debt, and putting it in there. And it was kind of one of those things that we didn't really have the money to pay it, but it just kept coming. And before long, we were like, gosh, we're halfway out of debt. We're all the way out of debt. And it's, you know, we've never really looked back, have we?
No.
I mean, it's still the one check that I write out, that we write out every week. And God has just
really blessed
us. Just really blessed us with it.
And now along the way, Beverly got some unexpected bonuses. I got two unexpected bonuses. All those went to the credit card debt. Mm-hmm.
I took on extra tax work
and all that. All of my extra work went to pay off the credit mm-hmm. cards. And fortunately for us, in a period of about 2.5 years, we were able to eliminate all that credit card debt.
Tell me what it feels like now to be completely out of debt.
It changes your life. I mean,
it's total freedom. I mean, it's amazing how you don't have the worries about the money like you did before.
Our life is so much more meaningful now without all that stuff and all that burden than it probably could have ever been.
We volunteer to basically help people who have, financial problems mm-hmm. here at Crossroads through dollars and cents. Our life now is more about trying to do things for others than it is trying to do things for ourselves.
And
yeah.
How's that feel?
Awesome.
Feels, I mean, it's a much better life than it was before.
Yeah. Yeah, much better.
And talk about putting it out in the open, right? You know, let's take a page from the Nelson story right now. I want you to look at the person next to you, and I want you to tell them how much credit card debt you're in right now. Go ahead and do that. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Actually, Brian Tome did that about a year ago in a service, and it freaked people out. Kind of like you guys were just freaked out. Freaked people out. I remember because I was in that service, and when he said that, I'm like, are you serious? There is no way. There's no way. And I was sitting next to my wife. But I love Jeff and Beverly and their willingness to go there. And what they're modeling, not only are they modeling what it looks like to open up in community, but they're modeling this other principle toward freedom. And that is, if we're going to get free, we gotta be willing to do some work. You gotta work a proven plan. And they talked about being at a class, and whether it's, you know, they were at a financial peace class, and there's dollars and cents that we've done here. It doesn't matter what the class is, but there is some proven stuff that people have used to get out of debt. And when we work a proven plan, we find steps toward freedom. And I think it's interesting how the Bible talks about this. There's a collection of wisdom in the Bible known as the Book of Proverbs. And it talks to a lot of very practical issues. And it talks to this issue of being in debt and what our response should be. Let's take a look at these words. It says, my son, if you have put up security for your neighbor, if you have struck hands in a pledge for another, if you have been trapped by what you said, ensnared by the words of your mouth, then do this, my son, to free yourself, since you have fallen into your neighbor's hands. Go and humble yourself. Press your plea with your neighbor. Allow no sleep to your eyes, no slumber to your eyelids. And listen to this. Free yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, like a bird from the snare of the fowler. Do you get the sense of urgency around that? This idea that you've got to work. I love what he says. Free yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter. I love watching Animal Planet. It's probably one of the coolest channels on TV. One of the coolest things I like to see is I like to see that cheetah coming through the reeds chasing the gazelle. You guys ever seen that? On the African savanna, and you notice the guy is usually whispering while it's happening. Slowly, the cheetah approaches through the reeds, right? And it's like you're getting this buildup. And then you see the gazelles. And what's interesting, I've seen this a lot. I've seen this scene a whole lot of times. Here's what I've never seen. When the gazelle notices that the cheetah is in the reeds, I've never seen gazelles kind of get themselves in a huddle and start drawing on the sand and saying, all right, we can go left, we can go right. I've never seen them take the time to stop, right? What do? Soon as they see the cheetah, you see them tense up. And then what do? Baby, they run. They run. And you know what? What this is saying is if you are in a situation where you're stuck in the bondage of debt, baby, it's time to run. It's time to run. If you're going to get out of debt, there's some stuff you need to do. You need to work a proven plan. You know, a lot of times we think about spirituality and we say, spirituality is just this collection of information that I have and I never really have to do anything with it. Wrong. Wrong. When it comes to debt, there's some work to be done. So what does that mean? That means that if you're stuck in the bondage of debt, there's some stuff you're going to have to stop doing now. You might have to stop spending now. If you're spending a lot of money eating out, you might have to stop eating out now. There's also applied wisdom that's worked for other people that can work for you. Things like saving up for short-term emergencies. That's something you got to start doing now. There's this whole idea of just cut up the credit cards. Do that now. There's this idea, and I know the Nelsons use this, called the debt snowball, where you list your debt, starting with the smallest amount, all the way down to the largest amount. And then every time you have money that you can put against that, you attack that debt. You run from that debt like a person who's running. Run, run, run. There's a place for work. You work a proven plan. And I know it's easy to look at their story and say, you know, two and a half years, $75,000? There's no way I can do that. That's impossible. I don't know what the time frame would look like for you, but I'm telling you, if you work a proven plan, you can get your credit card down to zero. It can work for you. It's worked for other people. And there's wisdom in applying what's worked for other folks. So this thing about freedom is found through a change of habits and through a change of heart. And if you open up to community, and if you work a proven plan, you will change your habits. You will change your habits and you will get that credit card down to zero. But as I said, God's ultimate goal is not just for you to have a change in your habits. God's ultimate goal is freedom. And freedom comes when we experience a change of heart. So let's take a look at one more story. And as we do that, you're going to see a person having a change of heart and finding freedom in the midst of getting out of the bondage of debt.
18 when I left home, and I did not have a clear foundation of anything. It was just, I'm out, I'm on my own. And it wasn't so much as the freedom, it's just I'm ready to start my life. All I knew was work for survival. I never understood initiating a career. I even went to college and just wasted money. So it was never a focus on have a career, have a savings, have a plan. It was just work, work, work. I found myself 28 years old, out of work, a baby, single parent, and it's like, okay, where do I go from here? Up until the point I had my son, I had worked, but because of complications during the pregnancy, I basically had to leave my job. I paid my bills, but I never saved anything. And it wasn't that I splurged or spent it anywhere. I just never sat down, wrote out a plan, what to do with the money. I never gave it a title as to where it was supposed to go. I just paid bills, you know, and I ate. And then I had my son, and it was like, okay, I have no money. What am I going to do? I'm by myself. What am I going to do? I struggled so much. I was like, I just can't take this. At one point, I felt like I was losing my mind. I actually went to the doctor. I was too embarrassed to ask for antidepressant. And then I felt like, don't ask for it because you can't afford to pay for it anyway. So it was like, I don't know what to do at this point. And I just got into such a deep depression. I was like, it's got to be a way out of this. But I never had a problem asking for help. I never knew to ask, can you help me create a financial foundation? I just asked God for help, and help came. The Financial Peace University, it just fell in my lap. I got an email, hey, we're trying a pilot program. Do you want to come? The program is more than I can afford. And it fell in my lap. That was definitely God. And what I started doing was I started making a list of what was coming in and how it was to go out so I can see where it was. So what I did from there is like, okay, now what do I do with this remaining amount of money? I still haven't worked that out yet, but it's like I started adding a name to everything that I was spending because it was like I refuse to be poor for the rest of my life. I refuse to say I'm broke. My aunt always told me that don't say you're broke. Your money is in circulation. I'm like, well, if it's in circulation and it's coming back to me, I need to find out where it's at. And what am I doing with it? Because I'm like, if it's circulating, hey, where is it at? Because I said, I don't want to be in a position where I'm paying all my bills and I can't feed us. People have come to my rescue in a sense. Like, they're just here just to listen, or they're here to offer a hand, or they show me where to go or what have you, what to do. Give me a clear plan on my life. And that's something that I just never had. And I have that now. And I'm grateful. I'm not as stressed out as I was. I know, you know, it's like I said, it's still a growth process. I know that I still can't afford the things that we need, but I know that there's hope that we will get to that point. The feeling that I have is just not being stressed out. I can enjoy coming home. I have a 6-year-old. He has special needs. And if I'm stressed out, what am I giving to him? If I'm stressed out, what am I giving to God? My future plans are to go back to school, so I believe with all my heart that all the debt that I have is going to be erased.
Mm-hmm. You can see the hope in her eyes. You can see what freedom looks like, even in the midst of not having it all there yet. I know Shawna, and I know that she's a person who lives in the generosity of God. And let me say that you can be at a place where your credit card debt is unbelievably high. You can be at a place where it's down to zero, and you can still not be free. If you don't embrace the opportunity we have every day to simply live in God's generosity. Remember that verse that we talked about earlier in Haggai. about what it looks like to be in debt and that purse with holes in it. Well, I want you now to listen to God's alternative. And God's alternative is available to you. Listen to what this says in Isaiah 55. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk, without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. You see, I came to a point where I realized that I was buying things to fill a void that they were never designed to fill. I bought things that I thought would give me meaning, or I bought things that I thought would give me status, or I bought things that I thought would give me acceptance. But things were never meant to fill that void. Those are voids that are uniquely designed and uniquely filled only by God. And the invitation here is that God is saying you can come and freely receive what you've been trying to meet with things. The needs are legitimate. The needs are real. But what God is saying is, I want to meet them for you through my generosity. And I need to live in the generosity of God. And that's awfully hard to do when everything is telling me you don't have enough. Well, this week in our groups, there was a challenge that we all had. And that challenge has become, in the last couple months, a way for me to regularly live in the generosity of God. How many people got a chance to make a list of the examples in your life of God's generosity? That was the personal challenge in our consume groups this week. And I did that. And I tell you, that is something that God's just been using to work on my heart and help me just continue to realize that I live in the generosity of God every day. So I want to read some of my gratitudes to you guys. I put that I'm grateful for being rescued by Jesus. I'm grateful for a wife who loves me. I'm grateful for people who saw potential in me and chose to invest. I'm grateful for a loving family. I'm grateful for lasting friendships. I'm grateful for the ability to receive and give love. I'm grateful for the ability to read. You know, it's Black History Month, and I never want to forget that if I was born four generations earlier in my family, that would have been a right that was not afforded to me. I'm grateful for beauty in the world and all five senses to enjoy it. I'm grateful for the child we've conceived. I'm grateful for all of you. I'm grateful for this Crossroads community. And I'm grateful for my neighbor who shoveled my walkway. You know, when I think about that list, I think about the fact that that's not about money. Those are things that I freely get to receive. And when I think about that list, it reminds me to live in God's generosity. And for some of us, words are sufficient. For some of us, maybe we need a picture. The first week of this series, we took Polaroid pictures. And this week, my friend Andrew personally flew 7,000 photos of all of us over to Mamelodi, South Africa. And friends, if you were one of the people who put that photo in a basket, you're looking at the generosity of God. Right now, on the other side of the world, there is someone committed to pray for you. You didn't have to pay them anything for it. They're not looking for anything in return from it. But God's generosity has been extended to you. I look at her tears. She's crying tears of joy. And her joy is based on the fact that she knows that because she's going to pray, God's generosity is coming for you. So my question is, why spend money for what is not bread? Why waste your labor on what doesn't satisfy. When you have the opportunity to live in God's generosity. The song that we're about to sing is God's invitation. And God's invitation is the same as it's always been, and it's available to you. God simply says, hey, are you thirsty for meaning? Then come. Are you tired of being in the bondage of debt? Then come. Are you hungry for purpose? Then come. And if you want to respond to God's invitation, the chorus of this song can be your prayer of response. It simply says, if you lead me, Lord, I will follow. If you lead me, I will go. Come and heal me, Lord, I will follow. If you lead me, I will go. I want to have us all right now listen to the invitation of God. And if you want a change of heart, now is an opportunity to respond. And God, today, that's what we want. We want freedom. We want to live in the freedom that you have for us. We want to live in your generosity. And God, I'll be honest that sometimes I just need you to show me how. So God, would you do that for us today? Amen. Well, Steph, I know that this is connecting with some of your story as well. So
absolutely.
Tell us a little bit more about you and who you are and
sure.
Your experience with this.
Well, I started coming to Crossroads about 4 years ago. I really hadn't been in church for a while. I've been away. And decided to come here, check it all out. And I was a single mom with a good pile of debt on my shoulders. And I was attacking it. I had my plan. I was working my plan. But I wasn't talking to God about it. You know, I'm coming here, I'm opening up, I'm learning more about having a relationship with God. So I'm talking to you about everything else except this money thing. It's my mess, I made it, I'll fix it. I don't know why I thought that was a good plan, but so I'm plugging away on that. And as would happen, I'm serving here at Crossroads and I meet somebody. A little benefit of serving that people might not know about.
Okay. All right. Great, that was great.
But I met somebody and we started dating and we're really connecting. And it turns out he's a single parent and he's got some debt too. And where I've got this obsessive compulsive thing where I feel like my whole identity is my debt. And until I pay that off, I'm not worth anything. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why I wasn't talking to God about it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But I was all tied up in that. He had debt and he's looking at it going, well, I'm paying my regular bills and I'm never going to beat that. I'm never going to beat it, so I'm just going to ignore it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pile that bill over in the corner of the kitchen. It's a scary pile. And that he left it alone. And I was, you know, dealing with this end. So we did the only logical thing that two people with completely opposite money styles that are madly in love can do. We got married. But we didn't combine our money because we had our ghosts, we had our problems. We're going to keep doing our own thing. But, you know, we roommates kind of sort of thing. So that didn't work so well. And together we're coming and we're praying about everything again except money. And we're not talking about money in our marriage. And a lot like the Nelsons, it was straining us in our first year. We were not dealing with the big, huge elephant in the room of our debt. And luckily, God had our backs, and he kept throwing things at us through different mediums. You know, my husband liked to listen to talk radio, so he started listening to Dave Ramsey. And he's like, hey, this is kind of interesting. And he gets me the book, because I like to read. So I read the book in one day. The obsessive thing doesn't go away overnight. So I read the book, and it gave us a platform. And like you said before, it doesn't matter what the tool is. For us, it happened to be this particular Dave Ramsey program.
Right.
But we started having something similar to talk about, the same language and a plan that made sense. Like, okay, wait a minute, we can do that. We can do that. All right, we'll list all our debts. Man, that's a scary list. So we listed all the debts, and we're like, you know what, we need to attack this together. And so we started talking about money. Then we started talking to God about money. You know what, God, we got a lot of hang-ups around this money thing. And we're not going to fix them by ourselves. We've been trying, or sort of trying, and it's not working. So we need to get real about our bad habits. We need to be honest about it. And we talked to God. We talked to friends. We talked to family. We broke the secrecy. That was a huge thing. And for me, even though I knew about my debt, I was keeping it a secret about what it really was, about the problem of the identity. And I felt that change of heart you're talking about because I am worth something. Just because I'm in debt doesn't, God didn't look at me and say, yeah, I'm waiting until you're out of that debt and then I'll work with you.
That's right.
That's not how it works. And he's just waiting for me to say, all right, I messed up and okay, I want to get out of it. And we got serious. We put our money together right after our first anniversary and started attacking the debt together. And wouldn't you know, we were finding money. Not the same money dropped out of the sky. God did not drop a blank check off and poof, you know.
Right.
It was hard work, but we were finding money because we quit going out to eat as much.
Mm-hmm.
We balanced the fun with the responsibility and had a healthy relationship and were able to talk through that. And through the generosity of God, Guy's business, he's self-employed, had a great year, and we paid every penny of debt off.
That's awesome.
Every penny.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And it was cool, but it's not the end game.
That's right.
It's not the end game. For us, what's Guy's business slowed back down. As soon as that debt, that literally the last check, boom, his business slowed down.
Mm-hmm.
But it's almost like God is saying, all right, what are you going to do when this is all you have to live on? And you learn how to live on that, Steph and Guy, and when you've got that one down, I'll continue to bless his business and bring in things around. But it's like he's preparing us.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Nelsons inspired me. I mean, they're talking about tithing with that, I mean, just unbelievable load of debt.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I wasn't that good. I mean, I just want to be honest about that. And I need to be. And I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a guilt. It's I want to be that generous. And I want to build into something that helps all of us find God and have a place to be. And I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
The end game is where do we go from here? I want you guys to find that switch.
That's right.
And that's what Guy and I really feel called to. What's next? Where, you know, where's God leading us? We want to help people the way the Nelsons do.
That's right.
To find the change of heart. The switch when tears were in my eyes that I don't have to live like this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to have a car payment chasing me the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to be afraid of the mailbox. I don't have to look at caller ID when the phone rings. Don't get that one.
Right.
I mean, that's awesome. Because God's got bigger plans for me than paying those debts off.
That's right.
So that's right. I want everybody to have that.
Absolutely. And you guys are you're putting your money where your mouth is, to speak. And you're going to be a part of a leadership team for Financial Peace. It's coming to Crossroads. So tell us about that, and then you've got some other things you want to tell
us about. Absolutely. Well, you heard Shawana's story. You heard the Nelsons, Guy and I. We've all been impacted by Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace. And it's just one of many programs, but as a great opportunity this spring, we're going to offer that as one of the community groups.
That's
There'll
right.
be more information in your program, but if you haven't heard about it, it is a spiritually based program that helps get you on a plan. And helps you, we're not going to use that bad B word, that
That's
budget
right.
word. It's
That's
a plan.
Right. It's a plan.
It's a plan to attack stuff.
And let me just emphasize this point. You know, you've heard us talk about this a couple times in this experience today, Dave Ramsey. We're not getting a cut from Dave Ramsey. That's not the deal here. If it doesn't work for you, there are other plans that may work for you. We just know that this is something that's impacted people. And like we talked about, we can apply proven plans that have worked for other people. This is one that's worked, and we're going to give it a try this spring.
So. Absolutely. So that's one option. Another way to be generous around here, we talked about generosity of folks at Crossroads. You may have a car that you're not using. Maybe, you know, it's an older car that you've got sitting in your driveway. You may never have thought about this, but there's an awesome ministry here called Wheels. Skilled mechanics that can take that car, if it needs any little bit of work or whatever, they can work on it and then give it to a person or family in need in our community. So there's a way to be generous you may never have thought about. That would be a really cool way to give back. And finally, if you don't have a small group, and there may be some of you out there that don't, you might be new here today going, small group, what? For Consumed, I want to really encourage you that please get in one. It is not too late. Don't look at this and say, man, they're already on week three. Pfft, forget it. No, this is really awesome time because it's a chance to have community around an issue that really it is consuming us.
Right.
So getting in a small group is where the magic happens. I mean, you come here and Chuck's awesome, and you get to hear this great message.
Mm-hmm.
But you get in with a smaller group, and you start digging down into your own story, and that doesn't mean you have to go in the first week and tell them what you owe.
That's right.
But you get in there and you get real and start talking to people. You build the community and the openness and break the secrecy. That's where all the stuff's going to happen.
Absolutely.
So get a group.
Absolutely. It's not too late. And you know what? There are on-site groups that are meeting here every Wednesday. So if that works for your schedule, just show up Wednesday at 7 p.m. and we'll be able to plug you into a group. Hey, this week, you're going to get to do some work in your Consume groups around this idea of debt being bondage. And again, don't focus on that. Focus on the fact that God wants freedom for all of us. And have fun in your groups this week. Take care, everybody.
Bye.